Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our merciful Father, you have sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to open the eyes of the blind. May you open our eyes so that we may see and understand your word, that we may know our sins and believe and trust in you for our forgiveness and salvation. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts so that we may worship and praise you with our whole heart. We come before you today with humble hearts, seeking your grace. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. I invite you to please rise. Please follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. God of might and compassion, open your ears to the prayers of your people who wait for you. Do not leave us in the depths of our sins, but listen to your church pleading for the fullness of your redemption. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our fifth Passion History reading.
So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Then the soldiers of the governor led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together and gathered around him the whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, clothing him in purple. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and worshipped him, mocking him. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head with it. And they struck him with their hands. And when they had mocked him, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and sent again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, probably 6 a.m., according to the Roman time. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him to them to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus' purple robe off him and put his own clothes on him. They took Jesus and led him out to crucify him, and he, bearing his cross, went out. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the city. They compelled him to bear Jesus' cross. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the womb that never bore, and the breast which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, and led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called in Hebrew Golgotha, which is translated Calvary, the place of a skull. And when they had come there, they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh and gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. Here ends our Passion History reading. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed that begins on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. Today we'll read from chapter 19, verses 16 through 18. So then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. Carrying his own cross, he went out to what is called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What does the cross mean? I suppose it depends on who is looking at it. To some, it might just be a nice piece of jewelry hung around their neck. To others, it might be a superstitious symbol used to ward off evil spirits or the devil. To the skeptic or the atheist, it may be a symbol for them of a weak-minded person who needs this crutch of religion in their lives. To the Romans, it was an instrument of torture, meant to inflict a horribly slow and painful death. It's where we get the word excruciating from the cross, from the crucifixion, is where the word comes from. For the thief that was crucified next to Jesus, the cross was a doorway to death, both physical and eternal. But to the other thief that was crucified next to Jesus, the cross was the gate to heaven and eternal life. Again, it all depends on who is looking at the cross. So the more important question today is, what does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to me? And hopefully the answer for all of us would be that it is the blessed symbol of what our Savior came to do for us. The place, the altar, so to speak, where Jesus, the God-man, shed his blood to be this perfect sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. It is the place, that cross is the place where God's law and his wrath over sin and his gospel, the good news of his saving grace and love and his Son Jesus Christ, meet. It's a reminder of our sin, and it's a reminder of our salvation. It is the symbol of Jesus' unquestionable, unconditional love for us. Like the Apostle Paul says, there is no greater message than that of the cross, the message of Christ crucified. So today, as we continue our sermon series, The Names of Wondrous Love, we look at this word, crucified. And yes, it's more of a term than a name, but we link it so often with the name of Jesus, the name Christ. And so it's his name of wondrous love, Christ crucified, that we consider today. They crucified him. That's what our text says. Just three short words in English. It's actually only two words in the original Greek. It's almost shocking how simply and starkly the gospel described Jesus' suffering and his crucifixion. They crucified him. But there's nothing short or simple about it. We shudder to think about the torture, the torment, and the pain that Jesus endured as he was scourged and beaten. And we are told in history that oftentimes the prisoners did not even survive that, the scourging and the beating. And in that bloodied and beaten state, Jesus was made to carry his cross on which that crucifixion then would be carried out by driving nails into his flesh, to hold him there as he was raised in the air and dropped into the supporting hole in the ground with a jarring and resounding thud. The crucifixion part, the actual nailing or affixing to the cross part, was actually done quite quickly. The dying, however, was excruciatingly slow. Normally hours would go by, even days, as the victim would hang there, dying on that cross, racked with pain, constant throbbing, torturous pain, and burning thirst. Did you know that they wouldn't even allow Roman citizens to be subjected to this shameful, painful, slow death by crucifixion? No respected person would ever be put on a cross. It was this horrible torture device of death reserved only for the worst of criminals and for God's Son. And yet, for all this physical pain that Jesus endured, that paled in comparison to the hell that God's Son endured that day. The crushing weight of all the world's sins throughout history, the punishment of death and hell, that just punishment that mankind's sins deserve, came crashing down on Jesus with staggering force as he hung there on that cursed cross. We can't even begin to imagine the depths of hell's suffering that Jesus endured for us on that cross when he cried out in anguish, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" They crucified him. Our text says so simply. But how can we imagine the depth of suffering that this involved on the cross on that Good Friday? Well, we can only guess at the suffering, the depth of the suffering that was involved that day in that word crucified. We don't have to guess at the they who it was that crucified him. Think of the list of people involved. Certainly the soldiers were involved. They were the ones who physically put Jesus on that cross and nailed him to it. Think of the cowardly and selfish Pontius Pilate, vainly trying to wash his hands of innocent blood by mere water. He was also clearly involved, as he's the one who authorized his crucifixion. The chief priests of the Jews are there. They are also involved. So are the people who are there, gathered in their hatred, calling for Jesus' crucifixion. There are even more who are involved with they who crucified Jesus. Think of Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, who himself is now dead as Jesus hangs there on the cross being crucified. Think of Peter, weeping in the darkness, repentant and forgiven, but still, because of his fear, had denied Jesus, his friend and Savior, three times. If we look even closer, we can see even more of they who crucified him. Do you see them? Do you want to look closer? Men and women of all classes and nations throughout history all have one thing in common. They all bear the stain of sin. And if we dare to look even closer and look closely enough, we'll even see us. We, all of us, because of our sins, are included in they who crucified Jesus. Today, each one of us, looking into our own heart and into our own life, must confess, "I crucified him." We certainly don't want to stop there. When we look at the cross, we don't just think of our guilt and our sin. We don't just want to see God's law and his wrath over sin. After all, what comfort can we gain from the thought, "Jesus crucified by me"? It doesn't bring us any comfort. No, so let's look again at that cross. I point to the cross regularly in sermons for this reason. We not only see our sin, but we also see our Savior. So let's not just look at what put him on the cross, but let's look at what kept him there. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't the soldiers who were guarding him. It wasn't the crowd that kept him on that cross. It was his wondrous love that held him there. Christ's cross brings that blessed, saving, comforting truth that we need so desperately. Christ crucified for me. The cross loudly and clearly proclaims not just God's law, but God's gospel. The good news of his forgiveness and his saving love in Jesus. Christ's cross shouts the declaration that all sins have been fully paid for, freely and forever. That's what Jesus meant, and that's what Jesus was saying when he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." It stands finished now and forever. And the Bible spells this out clearly, this glorious truth clearly for us in passage after passage. The prophet Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, yes, he tells us he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. But Isaiah also reminds us, by his wounds, we are healed. The Apostle Paul tells us God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. John assures us, as we read earlier today in our liturgy, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Those are three passages. There are many, many others like them in the Bible. Down throughout the ages, Jesus' cross has stood as a blessed promise and a blessed invitation to all sinners to receive the love, the forgiveness, and the eternal life that Jesus won for all there. God has given us that gracious invitation, that blessed promise, so many times in our lives, in both the Word and in the sacraments. So many times for so many of us that perhaps it doesn't seem all that grand or all that glorious anymore. We've heard about our wondrous Savior and his wondrous cross so many times that we might be tempted at times to respond, even if it's just sort of subconsciously, another Lenten sermon about Jesus and his cross? What else is new? I've heard this all before. When I find myself thinking those kinds of thoughts, I'm reminded of a story that a rancher's wife told me a number of years ago. She and her husband had a new ranch hand, and this ranch hand's wife was with him. They were living in a trailer home on that couple's ranch. And as time went by, the wife of the rancher and the wife of the ranch hand struck up a friendship and began to have conversations about faith and about the Bible. She found out that this woman had zero knowledge of the Bible whatsoever, and I mean zero. So in the evenings, she would go through a Bible story book and go through some Bible studies with her and kind of give her a good overview of what the Bible is about. She would go through these Bible stories because she didn't know anything about God or about the Bible. And so eventually they get to the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, of course, and this woman is just really loving it. She's eating up God's word that she's been hearing and reading. And then they get to the accounts of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, and this woman looks at her, this rancher's wife, in wide-eyed shock as she's reading, and she says, "You mean he died?" She did not know the story of Jesus and didn't know that in the end, he dies. And so this Lenten season, it is once again time to go back to the cross. It's time to look at and see and hear about that familiar cross once again. It's also time to kneel beneath that cross, confessing our sins, rejoicing in Jesus' forgiveness he won for us there. It's time again to marvel at the wondrous love behind those words, Christ crucified for me. So may the Holy Spirit renew our hearts with wide-eyed shock and wonder each time we hear and read about what Jesus did for us on the cross. You mean he, Jesus, died? The Son of God died? And he died for me? Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We have a prayer request today, again, for Terry's friend Jenny. And we're asking the Lord to help her accept her situation at the memory care facility where she's at and to see God's work in turning that out for good in her life. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our Savior, you are the crucified Christ who came to live and die to give us eternal life with you in heaven. We must confess that our sins too brought you to the cross, where you suffered death and hell for us and every sinner. At your own invitation, we take refuge in your wounds and we seek cleansing in your blood. By the sacrifice you made, stir us up to love you and to do every good work. Give us patience to endure tribulations, strength to resist temptations, joy to overcome sorrows, love to replace bitterness, guidance to keep us on the path of righteousness, boldness to seek your help in prayer, and a will to seek the counsel of your holy word. Help us to always share with others the light of salvation, especially, Lord, when those who we know and love are passing through the dark shadows of death. Let that be our comfort when we reach death's door as well. Dear Savior, we pray that you would be the help and comfort for Jenny. Help her to accept her situation at the memory care facility. Help her to see it as a good thing from you and to trust your promise that you will work all things out for her good. Help her, Lord, to have a positive attitude and to seek to help others who are there with her. Help her to be a light and a good Christian witness to those who are around her. Be with her and give her good health and strength. Most importantly, Lord, strengthen her faith in you. O Holy Spirit, you are the beloved author of our faith. Call to our remembrance the sacrifice Jesus made for all of us, lest failing to remember, we fall into unbelief and all manner of sin and vice. Open our mouths to bear witness to our Savior's name. Open our hearts to give generously to the cause of Christian missions and to the relief of those who are suffering need. Let the joy of our salvation in Christ fill our hearts and our minds until that day we rejoice to meet him in glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God of mercy and love, we commend to your special care any who are afflicted, all who need your help and encouragement, and all who need your healing. Provide for all of your children according to our individual needs. We praise your name both now and forever, O true and only God. And in Jesus' name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Drawn to the Cross. Please rise. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. And I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A warm welcome to our visitors who are with us today. I invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements for today and for from the bulletin. After the service today, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service at 1 p.m., Bible class at 2 p.m. Next Sunday, our Bible class is at the usual time of 9 a.m., worship service 10 a.m., and then our women's auxiliary will meet in the fellowship hall at 11:15 a.m. next Sunday. Next Sunday is the last Sunday in Lent. That means Palm Sunday is on April 2nd, Easter Sunday, April 9th. There is a sign-up sheet for the Easter brunch that's going to happen here. We have our joint worship service with our sister congregation in Hayward on Easter Sunday. Following the service, we'll have our potluck brunch, Easter brunch. So please sign up on the entryway sheet, and I'll share that with the folks in East Bay today as well. Please check your mailboxes before you leave church today. There is a updated church directory for this year. If you need another copy or two, I have extra ones, so please just let me know if you need more copies. I do plan on sending out the digital online version of it to you today in the email. I just forgot to send it out last night, so you'll, Lord willing, be receiving that in its electronic format today as well. There's also the World Prayer Missions, the World Missions Prayer List in the bulletin. Please do read through that and keep those items from our brothers and sisters over Christ in the various countries around the world in your thoughts and prayers. And please pray for our missionaries, including Bruce Nauman, who will be heading to his new role in Tanzania at the end of this month. Former St. Stephen pastor Bruce Nauman will be heading over there at the end of the month. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all.